curious as I touched his Iowa number on my New York telephone keypad. Bill quickly focused our calls on a tall stack of papers on his kitchen table. Within 20 minutes, I knew I had to look Bill in the eye and see that stack. I asked if I could catch the first plane out the next day. "Sure, I'll pick you up at the airport," Bill offered. "Stay at my place. It's just me and Stripe, my hunting dog, here. I have 3 empty bedrooms. You can sleep in one." Riding from the Des Moines airport in Bill's truck, I learned that Stripe was the best hunting dog in the world and that his 76-year-old owner was a retired lawyer. Bill and Stripe spent their days hunting and fishing. Soon Bill and I were seated at his Formica-topped kitchen table. Between us was a pile of paper, a bowl of popcorn, and 2 gin and tonics. The papers were the transcript of a secret war crimes trial held on Guam in 1946. 55 years earlier, Bill, a recent U.S. Naval Academy graduate, had been ordered to attend the trial as an observer. Bill was instructed to report to the courtroom, a huge Quonset hut. At the entrance, a Marine guard eyed the 21-year-old. After finding Bill's name on the approved list, he shoved a piece of paper across the table. "Sign this," the Marine ordered matter-of-factly. Everyone was required to. Bill read the single-spaced Navy document. The legal and binding language informed young Bill that he was never to reveal what he would hear in that steaming Quonset hut courtroom. Bill signed the secrecy oath, and he signed another copy late that afternoon when he left the trial. He would repeat this process every morning and every afternoon for the trial's duration. And when it was over, Bill returned home to Iowa. He kept silent but could not forget what he had heard. Then, in 1997, Bill noticed a tiny newspaper item announcing that vast stashes of government documents from 1946 had been declassified. "When I realized the trial was declassified," Bill said, "I thought, maybe I can do something for these guys now." As a lawyer, Bill had spent his professional life ferreting out documents. He made some inquiries and dedicated 11 months to following where they led. Then one day a box transcript arrived in the mail from Washington. Bill told Stripe they weren't going hunting that day. The transcript contained the full proceedings of a trial establishing the fates of 8 American airmen, flyboys, downed in waters in the vicinity of Iwo Jima during World War II. Each was shot down during bombing runs against Chichijima, the next island north of Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima was coveted for its airstrips, Chichijima for its communications stations. Powerful short and long wave receivers and transmitters atop Chichi's Mount Yoake and Mount Asahi were the critical communications links between Imperial headquarters in Tokyo and Japanese troops in the Pacific. The radio stations had to be destroyed, the U.S. military decided, and the flyboys had been charged with doing so. A stack of papers my brother found in my dad's office closet after his death in 1994 had launched me on a quest to find my father's past. Now on Bill's table, I was looking at the stack of papers that would become the first step in another journey. On the same day my father and his buddies raised that flag on Iwo Jima, flyboys were held prisoners just 150 miles away on Chichijima. But while everyone knows the famous Iwo Jima photo, no one knew the story of these 8 Chichijima flyboys. Nobody knew for a reason. For over 2 generations, the truth about their demise was kept secret. The U.S. government decided the facts were so horrible that the families were never told. Over the decades, relatives of the airmen wrote letters and even traveled to Washington, D.C. to search for the truth. Well-meaning bureaucrats turned them away with vague cover stories. "All those years, I had this nagging feeling these guys wanted their story told," Bill said. 8 mothers had gone to their graves not knowing the fates of their lost sons. Sitting at Bill's table, I suddenly realized that now I knew what the flyboys' mothers had never learned. History buffs know that 22,000 Japanese soldiers defended Iwo Jima. Few realize that neighboring Chichijima was defended by even more, Japanese troops numbering 25,000. Whereas Iwo had flat areas suitable for assault from